are one of the magic inner circle. Take us through that journey today. We're not just speaking to a normal magician. You're actually very accomplished.
Sure, thank you. I mean, when I was 18, I actually got in. I mean, without bragging, I got in, which 18 is the youngest you can actually be a member of the magic circle. So I took my exam then. It was actually what we call, an Ali Bongo show. So you had to go around different tables. It was after Young Magician's Club workshop. So you go around the tables, and I got examined on one of them. So they passed me, they gave me MMC, so Member of the Magic Circle. Prior to that, I was actually a member of the Young Magician's Club, which I was a member of the Magic Circle, and how long was it later? Then I got promoted to Associate of the Inner Magic Circle for my services, and then they gave me a Silver Star on top of that, a year or so later for my performance. They'd seen my work in Edinburgh, and they'd seen my performance in general too. I've also worked as a street entertainer now, so as well as doing private parties, I've worked down in Covent Garden.
Magic Inner Circle, take us through the levels.
So you've got Member of the Magic Circle, it's a company called MMC, and then you've also got Associate of the Inner Magic Circle, with or without a Silver Star. Usually if you're a performer, you get a Silver Star with it. And then you've got Member of the Inner Magic Circle without a Gold Star. And that can only be given by the President, and it's only capped at 300 members worldwide that can actually get that as well. I'm also serving the Magic Circles Council.
My magical guest today on Lessons for Life is none other than Nathan Earl, welcome to Lessons
for Life.
That's
it. Thank you very much. Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
That's a very beautiful and colourful kippah that you're wearing today. Thank you for joining us. And, you know, I always get intrigued by magicians. Since I was a young kid, we are going to be discussing a little bit about your journey today. How did you become one of the magic circle? Where are you coming from? Where are you going to? Welcome to Lessons for Life and what we can give out to the rest of our listeners. So Nathan, just take us through a little bit about your past. When you were younger, what made you want to become a magician?
So basically, when I was like really young, we used to go to Sunday lunch over at the Watford Hilton, and you'd have magicians going round showing magic and then like doing walk around close up. And then afterwards they'd have a little show for the kids after. So there was that. And also my grandfather did a little bit of magic as well. So that was like the first original part of it as to where I kind of gained an interest in it. I didn't do it for years though properly until I was 16, and then a guy at college actually said, oh, you should be a magician. And I remembered, oh yeah, and I need a hobby. So essentially I got into it that way.
And how did you learn? Where were you learning from? Did you have somebody to teach you? Did you YouTube it? What were you doing?
So a mixture of things really. I mean, the best way I found for learning was magic books, and also some DVDs as well. DVDs were very popular even like how long, about 15 Well, I've been a magician for 14 years, so 14 years ago, DVDs, but a lot of things went into downloads now. And so, yeah, essentially videos, books, and also people helping me a bit too. I used to go to Davenport's Magic, which was a magic shop down in Charing Cross Underground, and I'd go and ask them for tips, and I'd go and buy my tricks from there, but it's closed now.
You see, I think that's very important because a lot of people have dreams. A lot of people want to do certain things. If you tell me, if I give it to certain kids, here you go, take a magic book. They're like, look at it after two or three, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. You know, it doesn't really make sense. The beauty about you and magic is that you're able to try it on other people.
Yeah.
And also, the number two tip is, when you don't know, go and get advice from the actual people, the shops, the people that that matter.
100%. Also, speaking of shops as well, there's still the existing International Magic Shop, which I go to every now and again to stock up on supplies, and they're always happy to help and advise you. And which is great.
The people behind the advisors, they know magic themselves. They start to whip out, here's one I did earlier.
They do sometimes, I mean, it's over in Clerkenwell at the moment, so it's still existing.
So and our listeners have to go over there. That sounds like a day out.
If you have an interest in magic, then go, you know, especially, if you go down there, it's worth a trip. But I just used to stock up on supplies now.
But you have to be very quick on the hand. Explain to us a little bit about the secrets behind magic. What is the trick?
So basically, it depends what it is that you do. Some tricks for me take minutes to learn, some of them, or some of them take years. But the most important thing, I think the real secret behind it, regardless of any kind of skill or technique, is the presentation that goes into it. Like, you've really got to sell it. And you are, essentially, as a magician, you're the actor playing a part of a magician. So you really have to, make them buy into it. And you've really got to, of course, we know what magic's really like, but we really have to convince people that they've just seen a miracle. They've just seen something amazing, and they just go away thinking, how on earth did he do that?
It's the ability to think, it's like, how did they do that? That really keeps and draws people in. Like, what,
exactly.
Or you're going in one direction, and then suddenly out of the hat, as they say, you know, you've scooped something else, and they weren't expecting that. And that kind of brings the biggest magic tricks, is that right?
100%, yeah. And it's also when you find when a magician gets booked for a wedding or a bar mitzvah or any kind of event, like a corporate event, it's the magic is often what they remember the most if the magician does a good enough job. Mm. I mean, of course, you have food, you have other things, but the magic, they really go away thinking, how on earth?
You know, in the Torah, we actually have something. We know that the Egyptians, for example, yes, were sorcerers.
Hmm.
They had what's called black magic. Now, there is this idea that you can have magic, and the Torah actually speaks against that kind of magic because it was used for idol worship, etc. There are these powers that might be. Of course, God runs the whole world, but he enables certain powers in the world, and that's kind of sorcery. Magic today doesn't really tap into that. It's more of a illusion, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And also often known as sleight of hand magic and all of that kind of stuff, yeah. And also certain other things that what you just mentioned, you know, I've absolutely debunked that, for example, and it's not that kind of stuff. No,
Have you ever come across anything like that before?
Not that I can remember, to be honest. But no, yeah. I'm not into the occult. And
so, because Nathan, you are one of the Magic Inner Circle. Take us through that journey today. We're not just speaking to a normal magician. You're actually very accomplished.
Sure, thank you. I mean, when I was 18, I actually got in. I mean, without bragging, I got in, which 18 is the youngest you can actually be a member of the Magic Circle. So I took my exam then. It was actually what we call, an Ali Bongo show. So you had to go around different tables. It was after Young Magicians Club workshop. So you'd go around the tables, and I got examined on one of them. So they passed me. They gave me MMC, so Member of the Magic Circle. Prior to that, I was actually a member of the Young Magicians Club, which you can, if you're a kid or a teenager, you can get in, you can be part of that until you turn 18. So they have workshops once a month for like 10 years or so. Yeah. I was a member of the Magic Circle. And how long was it later? Then I got promoted to Associate of the Inner Magic Circle for my services. And then they gave me a silver star on top of that a year or so later for my performance. And they've seen my work in Edinburgh, and they've seen my performance in general too. I also work as a street entertainer now. So as well as doing private parties, I work down in Covent Garden. And
wow. Yeah. And the levels are Magic Inner Circle. Take us through the levels.
So you've got Member of the Magic Circle.
Member of the
Magic
Circle. So
currently you've got MMC. And then you've also got Associate of the Inner Magic Circle, with or without a silver star. Usually if you're a performer, you get a silver star with it. And then you've got Member of the Inner Magic Circle with or without a gold star. And that can only be given by the president. And it's only capped at 300 members worldwide that can actually get that. So.
And is the president himself a big magician?
He is, actually. Yeah, his father was
the highest magician.
Yeah, I mean, his name is Marvin Berglass as well. Also comes from a Jewish family. And he's the owner of Marvin's Magic, or the creator of Marvin's Magic, I should say.
Right.
And he also, if you go into places like Hamleys and Harrods, you'll find the magic sets there. And I used to be a demonstrator as well. So that was in my early 20s after graduation. I used to work as a demonstrator selling the sets.
Amazing. Have you ever met Marvin?
I have. We're pretty close as well. I'm also serve on the Magic Circle's council, and he's the president. So got president, secretary, and that.
What's the best magic trick that you've ever seen in your life? Like, wow, that wowed you, that even you didn't understand what was going on?
I've seen a lot. And there's certain things, like even at conventions, when I go to Blackpool Magic Convention, I'll see something and be like, wow, that's amazing. Like, how on earth they do that? But there's also what you call like magician's magic in a way. There's you get magicians who are like a magician's magician. Like, it's the stuff they do is so skilled and technical, it wouldn't work in the real world. Because when you go around tables, you need to make sure it's practical and stuff such. And I see magicians out there who they're very technically skilled, but they couldn't work a room, for example. They couldn't work a noisy room with a lot of background. And I think being able to do everything is important.
Is he the biggest magician you've come across, in your opinion? Or have you met other magicians?
I mean, there's people who are big in their own rights. I mean, Marvin is pretty big, really. Also, his father, David Berglass, was a very famous mentalist as well. He used to be on TV. Mm-hmm. So mind reading.
Mm-hmm. Do you do a bit of mind reading as well?
I don't do so much of that. It's not really my speciality. I'm more into classic magic.
Because otherwise, you know, we'd go through what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's certain things I can do, you know, mind reading a little bit,
getting the lottery numbers for the next week, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if I could do things like that, I wouldn't be working as a magician.
Right. So the magicians, they have their limits. They have their limits. And take us through, you go to the streets, you've gone to Edinburgh, you've moved around. Take us through also being a Jew and moving around. How does it feel? Do you mix with the other Jews? Have you had good experiences? Do people know that you're Jewish, etc.?
They generally do, yeah, actually. I mean, there's obviously people I associate with who are not Jewish know that I am, people that I'm close to. outside the Jewish community. And within the Jewish community, yeah, they know I'm a magician. So it kind of works both ways, really.
And any experiences with the Shabbat or with the, you know, Yom Tovs or something like that, that you've had a do, let's say, around a Shabbat or a do that's on a Yom Kippur or something like that, that you had to explain that you were Jewish?
Yeah, like certain things. I mean, not that I've ever had it, but if it was on Yom Kippur, for example, I would say, yeah, I can't do it because it's a, yeah, you know, Jewish holiday, so I can't do it then.
Okay, and when it comes to the street performances, you make a performance and then you collect money, how's it work?
Yes, essentially you make the crowd stop, so you do a few things to gauge a bit of curiosity, you stop a crowd, and also every street performer's got different kinds of methods to build an audience. Some use music, some use more talking, some use visual props. Okay. Same with any street entertainer. But yeah, essentially I stop the crowd, then I keep them there for...
How do you stop the crowd?
So what I do nowadays is I just do a bit of talking, really. I bash my case around a little bit, make a bit of noise, start setting up. Look, I just make it look like something's happening. So creating a bit of curiosity there.
Okay.
Bit of like banging around. And then when the first group stops, then the next group will stop as well. And then it eventually grows like a domino effect. And then you keep them there. And then once you've kept them there for about... I can do around, you know, 20, 25 minutes, up to 40 minutes, depending on the pitch size or where you're working. Then at the end, just before the end, just before you do your finale of the show, which is your most impressive piece of magic in the show, you do a hat speech and say, look, nobody pays me to be here. I'm not paid by the council, whatever you say. And then you do suggested amounts. And then once you've achieved that effect at the end, you've done your finale, then you hold your hat out. Also have a card reader as well in this day and age, because you have to. You lose so many donations otherwise.
Right. And what was the biggest donation you've received?
I mean, do you know what? I've had $100. Somebody's thrown $100 in my hat. I think that's the biggest thing they can physically throw in. Wow. If they're, for example, like, you know, from America.
Tell them when next time you go with the car machine, tell them add 2 zeros and whatever you're thinking. You know?
I'll try that and see how it goes.
Then it might help. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So give us a good an example of one of your tricks.
Yes. I actually have something over here.
I'm not sure if our viewers can focus on this, but we'll
see what we can. If I have the microphone over here like this, see what I can do, given we've got the microphone in that position. So can you just take out any playing card you like for me?
Any playing card.
Yeah.
Go for this one, yes.
Amazing. Have a look at it. And if you want to show the camera.
There we go.
Perfect. So we'll take your card back.
And I'm watching you.
Here we go. We're going to put it, let's say, about the middle like this. Maybe a little bit further down, but that's okay. Give the cards a couple of cuts like so. And just call out stop whenever you like.
Stop.
Perfect. So I'm going to put about half the cards over here. And I'm going to take 5 cards from where you stop me at. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's have a look. So we've got the 2 of clubs, the queen of clubs, the 7 of spades, jack of hearts, 4 of diamonds. Did you see the card there?
Yes, I did.
You did. Excellent. So that was like a 5 in 52 chance. But if I take one card out and put it about face down like this. Here we go. Now, did you choose 7 of spades, was it?
Yeah.
It was. Now, it gets better than this. Watch carefully, okay? You see my leg over here? Watch. We're going to give it a little rub, and I want you to see it's gone. I know you're still looking over here at my leg, right? I'm on the leg, exactly.
Show me it's gone.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Completely gone, right? Vanished. It's not here or here or anywhere here, you see? Completely gone. But here's the deal. I didn't touch these cards, did I?
No.
No. Let me see if I can show you over here. If we spread through, one card should actually be sticking out like a small thumb. Can you see that? The 7 of spades.
Wow, wow, wow. That's magic, you see? You distracted me. You did the illusion. We had no idea what was coming.
Certainly didn't.
And that was
yeah.
Wow, wow. So, you know what I learned about this magic is that we have in our lives... Nathan, we have a lot of distractions.
Yes.
A lot of distractions. Every company is out there to distract us and to get our attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you're walking in the streets, you've got the bus stops and you've got the buses that are passing by and the people, and if you're in the market, people are like yanking you in, and on the phone, you've got adverts constantly coming. And for me, we got to just keep consistent and concentrate on our mission.
Yeah.
As Jews, that's how it is. As a rabbi, that's how it is. Mm. So to get to where you've achieved, you've had to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You've had to lower the volume around you on all the rubbish. And that's how when it comes to interviewing different people, the success is based on commitment, consistency.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm speaking to you, I'm understanding it's even more about don't get distracted, focus.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. I mean, it's also one of those things you just got to knuckle down and learn. I mean, for years I spent also building up my business, and maybe when I could have been doing other things as well, like going out there and trying to have maybe a bit more of a social life at times. But yeah, it's the thing with magic is it is, when you're practicing, obviously it's quite solitary because no one else can know what you're doing. For example, when you're learning your tricks, when you're learning your routines.
So these kind of tricks, you've made them up yourself, or you've taken these from books? Obviously, nowadays you've got a mix.
There's also classics, and I always say there's nothing wrong with doing the classics. So there's classic things, but I always try and put my own presentation on it, my own spin on it, and yeah, one way or another, just try and make it your own. So if you've got ownership of what you do, then people, because a lot of the lay public, who are not magicians, haven't seen certain tricks before. Like, there's very popular routines out there. They've never seen them, but it's how about how you present it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think originality is important, ultimately.
What advice do you give to my kids to do magic, or if they enjoy magic?
If they enjoy it, I think the most important thing is to do what you enjoy. If they enjoy magic, then go ahead, learn it, get on that journey, get on that train and start learning. If not, then do what you enjoy and be passionate, because there's nothing like doing a profession that's going to make you miserable. But it's good to do as a hobby as well. Not every magician who does it as a hobby ends up doing it as a profession. You might just have a keen interest in it, or again, so many different branches to being a magician. You might create magic or do stage magic.
And what's your aim going forwards?
So my aim generally is to do more private work. I'm still working on things a lot. I'd like to say I've got a long way to go still in terms of what I want to do. I mean, as much as I enjoy street performing, it is nice to do private work for clients and be, also charging bigger bucks as well, and you know, that's the way to go, I think, ultimately.
And performing on stage?
Performing on stage is nice as well. I mean, if you have your own sellout show, of course, that's really nice as well. Mm-hmm. Be able to fill out an arena. But yeah, obviously making sure you get the costs and they cover it.
Right, but do they do like these magic shows where they invite different magicians and they have different performances?
Yeah, like often they'll have, sometimes magicians as well will have a bill.
You can have like, is there a place where people can go and see magicians? Like you have the comedy show. Maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah, there's also shows at the moment happening as well. There's a lot of public shows at the Magic Circle, right. So you can see magicians. There's also a show
Where
going
is that?
On at the moment. So the Magic Circle's over in Euston is their HQ. So,
and you could just pop in the night?
Not quite. I mean, you have to book tickets. They have public shows as well. Some of them are on Shabbat, so right. But then there are some that are also in the week as well.
Not going on Shabbat.
No, exactly, yeah. Exactly. I mean, like, it just depends on availability, and they've also got also, there's a show happening at the moment called The Magician's Table. So there's a few things happening here and there. Some things come and go. Some magicians as well, that they go on tour. So sometimes they do a London tour.
Okay, excellent. So, Nathan, thank you so much for joining us here on Lessons for Life. We've learned a lot about, your life, and that will help our audience to make decisions and to understand magic a bit better. Thank you for joining me on Lessons for Life.
Thank you very much. Thank you.